What is going on, everybody? Welcome to something a little bit different than you're used to. If you didn't notice, we had a little different music today. Things are a little bit different here on Theology of Hustle, and that's because we are trying something a little new. Don't worry, not everything is going to change. It's just a little slight new thing going on that we're trying out. And so we've gotten a lot of good feedback about like the anniversary episode and the first episodes where we sort of chat with each other, my wife JJ and I. And so we decided to record some mini episodes with us just kind of talking about life and whatnot. So there's this thing that's commonly known around our house, and that is that our kitchen table, our dining room table, is the magic table. And that's because when you're at our table, time just disappears. You just don't even realize that time is passing, and you have conversations that you normally wouldn't have, and you just feel welcomed. And so we want to bring a little bit of that to the podcast world, to the Theology of Hustle listeners. And so we just sit at our table, and the whole goal of this podcast, these mini episodes, I should say, is to just make it feel like you're around our table, that you're hanging out with us and just talking life. And so we're going to kick this off with what would you tell your 20-year-old self? It's a really fun episode. We talk about life and work and all that sort of thing. And so, I'm excited for you to hear it. I would love some feedback. Let me know what you think. We would love to know what y'all think about this episode, what you think about the magic table. If you have questions that we should be answering, I would love to hear that too. So make sure and hit us up on social media, and we will for sure take care of that. And yeah, I hope you enjoy a little time at the magic table.
All right. Well, we are at our magic table, as we like to call it.
Yes,
because people say that time disappears here. Yeah.
Okay. Am I supposed to be responding?
I don't know. So we're just going to sort of take questions, I think. Just take a question and sort of see where it goes, right? So.
Right. With the idea that it's like you're here with us, sitting at our magic table, except you don't get to engage in the conversation, but similar to a conversation we would have if you were sitting with us at our house.
Yeah, right. Okay. So do you want to let us know what the question is for today?
Sure. So today we are going to talk about advice we would give our 20-year-old self. Like, I also get we're only 36, but right, there are just some things that I wish I would have known. And so we thought they were worth at least sharing our thoughts on what we would have told our 20-year-old selves.
Yeah. Well, you seem to have a pretty good feel for what you want to say. So would you want to start this out?
Yes. Since I don't podcast on the regular, I have to write myself notes.
That's fine.
And come prepared. So the first thing I would tell my 20-year-old self was find authentic community. When we first got married, we attended a large church. We got involved in a small group. We were involved in a ministry within that church. And so I think from the outside looking in, we could have checked the box of we had community. But I think the important piece that was missing of that is it wasn't really authentic.
Right.
We chose to go to a church that on a Sunday with no traffic took 40 minutes to get to. And like, I've been thinking about why we were so ride or die about this place. Yeah. And I don't know what that was, but we probably drove past 100 churches on the way to this place.
Somehow it made sense.
At the time, we were dumb.
Yeah.
Whatevs. And so I think we missed out. You know, our first few years, I didn't really have girlfriends. I hung out with all your moody friends. And we like put ourselves in these places to make friends and to have community. But we didn't, because we didn't do a great job at finding it. The other thing was we were a part of a great small group, but it took us over an hour during the week to get there. And so oftentimes on a Friday or a Saturday evening, they would text and say, "Hey, we're all going to have dinner. We're all going to a movie. We're all doing something." Well, on a weekend, it could take us an hour and a half to 2 hours to get there. And so we missed out on a lot of those opportunities to make connection. And I just, right, we survived. We had great memories and a great experience. And I often think, what would our early years have been like had we had people pouring into us who really knew us and kind of what we were walking through?
That's fair.
But we didn't make ourselves vulnerable to other people to allow them in our lives. And so I think, like, takeaway one, you should probably go to church like near your house. And that's rough because there's a lot of people that even come to our church now that it's not super near their house. But I think if that is where you're at, that you really have to work to have authentic community. And I think that is a part of our story that I wish we would have had more wisdom on in that season of our life.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think they texted on Friday and Saturday nights back then. So
that's true. Texting that was didn't like exist. An
email sort of situation. Yeah,
they might have actually called us on the phone. That's crazy.
That
town.
Is crazy. That is crazy. Okay, so community.
Oh, am I like rapid firing my three?
Oh, am I? But I don't have three, so I feel like.
Well, you can go next.
Okay. I should just go next now. Okay.
We can back and forth.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, the only thing, I guess a little context to my 20s, right? I was at Moody, right? I was a brand new Christian at 18. I was in a school for like a year and a half doing religion at a like community college where we're from. And then I went to Moody, right? And so I think when I got to Moody, I started getting like this very intense biblical education. And even before that, right? Like education was, you know, and the Christian education was important to me. I always sort of knew that ministry of some sort was what I was heading towards, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so I think I got so caught up in my own brilliance at Moody that I think I would tell my 20-year-old self, like, you don't have it all figured out, right?
And that's okay.
Yeah. I feel like there's this trajectory that most people take. And I'm going to say most. I don't know about all. But it's this trajectory where you're, like, growing up. And then somehow when you hit, like, your, like, early 20s, all of a sudden you have it all figured out. I think in most people's minds, like, The early 20s is when you think you have most things figured out, right? It's like the peak of knowing. And I think that the last, I don't know, 16 years, 15 years that we've been married now almost, it's like been this like humbling, right? It's like 15 years of being humbled and like understanding how little I truly do know.
In the best possible way.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great thing. And I think, you know, people always sort of caveat this like, well, you think you know everything. And that's the whole point. Like, you think you know everything. I'm not saying that like 20-year-olds literally know everything. It's this perception that like you have extreme value and you're totally gifted and you are gifted. You just have no experience whatsoever. Right. And so I think for 20-year-olds, that can be difficult to understand, especially when you're trying to get into the workforce and you're like, hey, I'm valuable. Please like pay me tons of money because I deserve it. And like you don't, right? Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm 36 now and just now kind of getting really good at what I do, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. So I think I'd tell myself to settle down.
That was one of mine. Mine was chill the heck out, okay. But I came up with other ones that I like more. Yeah, so yeah. I affirm that. Okay. So the second thing that I thought about is that I wish I could have helped myself understand how much words matter. And I think when we think about that, we think about like negative things that we say to people and harsh words. And yes, that is true. But I think so often about the misses of like speaking life to people, sharing encouragement, because I didn't want to be like the weird lady saying things to people, or I didn't know where a relationship stood. And so it felt uncomfortable to like speak life into that. And I think that's an area that I have really grown in as a person, of seeing things in people that I know, and sometimes strangers, sometimes really simple things like, I really love the dress you're wearing. You look super beautiful today.
Right.
But we just don't. I think part of it is that, you know, everything, you're kind of, I was maybe wrapped up in career and proving self, and I didn't always take the time to speak life and truth to people around me. And it's something that holds such value. I was recently at the grocery store with Britton, and he's like in a super why phase. And so it was like, why this, why that? And I was crisscrossing with this woman, like every aisle, we kept kind of like crossing paths. And about four aisles in, she stopped me and was like, you're doing a great job at mothering and you're super patient. And I could have started crying in the midst of Trader Joe's, because I thought, she never had to say that. And it meant a lot on a really hard day with a toddler to have someone speak truth in life. And of course, there is deeper value in that when the people who love me most speak those words of affirmation to me. But I also feel like, just like, you never know what people are going through. A kind word goes such a long way. And I think as I have done this and realized, people appreciate it. No one is freaked out. No one's yelled or screamed or had an adverse response. That it's really encouraged me to speak truth in life when I see opportunity for that. And I think it's just a practice that I wish I would have started earlier on in my life.
How much of that do you think in your early 20s was a confidence issue versus like a caught up in other things issue?
I'm going to call it caught up in other things, but it's probably like 98% confidence.
Well, because even you said you didn't know where you stood relationally, so you felt awkward around other people.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
So there was this like, hey, I don't know where I necessarily stand.
So I'm not going to say things that might come across as
weird.
So
I don't
want
to be the weirdo. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I hate to say this, but like... But no, I think it's hard to be confident when you're that age, and without having like a false confidence. Like, it's truly hard to like really know yourself and know who you are without, and we've seen certain people do this, but not with like, without having walked through great sort of tragedy in their lives or something, like some very hard things that matures you faster. In your early 20s, you're just not going to be confident per se. You know, you may have this air of confidence, but that it's just an air. And I think maybe that's just part of the growing process to some extent.
Well, and I think the reality of telling your 20-year-old self is, we all wish we could go back and impart wisdom that we've gained on a previous version of ourselves, to even spare ourselves hardship and struggle. And so I guess caveat is, it's not coming from a place that we've figured everything out, but with life experience and walking through life with people, we've gained a little bit of wisdom along the way. And you wish that you could give that to your previous self, to some sort of like weird protection or something. I don't know.
No, I sometimes wish I could just go back and give myself a hug. You know what I mean? And like, I mean, we hustled hard back in the like early 20s, right? Like, we were like just crazy poor. Yep. And we worked
a lot,
like nonstop all the time. Yeah. And we just still do to some extent. It's just different work.
Different work.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, a lot of my stuff comes from like lack of confidence per se, you know? And I think the reason that you want to have it all figured out, or think that you have it all figured out, is because you are scared that you don't.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's tricky stuff. I don't know that I have. I mean, all mine sort of relate.
That's fine. Mine do too.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just now realizing this, I think, in my life, like vocationally, right? But that, like, you need decades to like truly be good at something, right? And I think I alluded to this earlier, but I think, you know, you don't see people really getting good at what they do until like almost 40, you know. You have like in the pastor world or something, you have some anomalies, right? There's the young guys that start like huge churches or whatever. Not that that's supposed to be the goal whatsoever, but you have guys who can preach like from pretty early on. But I think it takes time to like be good with people. It takes a lot of experience. Like, I think to give marriage advice, like we're just getting to a place at 14 plus years now where I think we've done enough work to really like talk about marriage.
For sure. And even like in ministry in particular, like,
yeah,
the awkward conversations don't feel so awkward because it's not your second or your fourth or your 12th.
Right.
But you're in your like 100th awkward conversation. Right. And you know that while terrifying, there's value. And yeah, I think so much of it is experience that like we've done this. And so much of it is not near as terrifying,
yeah,
as it was early on.
I think having grace with yourself, though, and realizing like this just literally takes time. All right. You like look at all these people that you see that you sort of want to be and that are doing the things you want to do, maybe, or, you know, have platforms that you want to have or something. And some of that's not always good, right? Like, you don't know what you're really wishing for, per se. But at the same time, like, those people put in a lot of hours and they did this a long time in order to get where they are, you know?
Yeah.
I would have a lot more grace for myself had I known that, you know, sure, back then.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of, like, goes with my last one.
Perfect.
But just this idea of like, I wish I would have been more intentional about seeking out people to model life after. And I think in this world, my old lady rant about like social media, we can look to this Christian celebrity culture and long to be like, in my case, those women. And I think they have a lot to offer the world. Their books are great. Their podcasts are great. They're probably great people. And I can find wisdom and encouragement from them. But they're not the people that when my life is falling apart that I can call or ask advice from. And so, yes, there is something to be gleaned from people. But I think it's really easy to get caught up in this other online world and look to, well, what does so-and-so say about that? Versus, like, I need to call a dear friend who knows my heart and who loves Jesus, who will point me back to him, or who knows the entirety of this scenario that I'm walking through and can speak life and truth to me. And I think part of that goes back to this idea of community and having to be, you know, humble around other people. But there are women who are in different stages of life than I am that I've been really intentional about creating relationship with, who have parented toddlers and elementary school age children and older kids that I can go to with questions or ask, like, am I doing this right? Are my kids going to like be in therapy forever?
Well, yes. But,
right.
You know.
But how much of it is me inflicted? And so I think like, I wish I would have started, and I think that goes back to this whole idea of insecurity. And also, I just didn't pick well. I sought out a lot of women to like mentor me or discipleship, whatever you want to call it. That once I got into those relationships, it wasn't what I was looking for. And I think sometimes that can be discouraging. And so I think kind of coupled with that, like, to me, it's like looking for a therapist. You may meet someone and they just don't meet the need that you have, and that it's okay to say like, you're great, I'm sure you're nice, but you're not going to be able to support me in the way that I need, and that we can move on from those relationships. And so I just think I've worked hard to cultivate a group of women who, you know, when I'm having a rough season or something in life is hard, that there are multiple people I could call or text to say, pray, or talk me down, or listen to me cry. And that is just one of those things I wish I would have sought out much earlier.
Well, let me ask a follow-up question to that, if that's okay.
Sure.
Well, because you did seek out women, right? And mm-hmm. you had a lot of, let's say, misses, mm-hmm. right? What do you wish you could have done better in finding a mentor? Because I think it's hard.
I think it is really hard. I think part of it goes back to time. And I think we were just talking about this, but I think part of it is changing my expectation of people and letting some of that happen more organically. I think there were people that I pursued who weren't looking to be that for me, but I kept pursuing it even though all signs pointed to no.
Okay.
And yet I still pursued it. And I think so many of my relationships now have just really organically happened because I've just chosen to be in relationship with our community. And I think, again, it goes back to that time piece of we've been, you know, we've been at our church for 12 years. And so, right. I mean, some of the women in my life have been in my life for 12 years, and we've walked a lot of different seasons together. And I think, again, there's value in that.
Right. Yeah. You can't put a price tag on that. They're just like, community can't grow faster.
Right.
Most of the time.
For sure.
It just needs that time. It needs seasons. It needs the ups. It needs the downs, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll tag on to that, I guess. And this is like one of our big community rants sort of in general. So maybe this will come up again on like a community question podcast. But there are so many people that we come across, and I'm like banging on the table emphatically, who are upset because they're not in community, but they are not in community because they do not pursue others. They expect people to come to them and bring them into community, and that is not how it works. And I think that when we were younger, as a couple, we were not necessarily good about pouring into other people.
For sure.
Just because we were all over the place and we were busy, and like, I don't think it was malicious.
Right. I think we just also didn't understand the value.
Right.
Or that, like, to get what we... I think it kind of went back to this, like, we were showing up and we were volunteering in a really challenging ministry.
Right.
And we had this expectation of like, hey, we're here and we're pretty awesome. And so like, don't you want to pour into us? Versus like, how do I serve you? How right. do I love you? How do I enter into your story versus having this expectation that like, you're going to see me and just want to jump on into my story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about that because we were at the Cabrini Green mm-hmm. doing the work with Cabrini Green kids. Is that what you're talking yeah. about? Yeah. And I do think, I don't know that I've ever put words to that necessarily, but I do think I expected people to be like, oh, they serve, therefore I'm going to like, you know, reach out and like take them under my wing. And I never did anything for any of those people, I guess. I never right. entered into real relationship with them.
For sure.
Yeah. I guess we learn those lessons sort of the hard way, right?
For sure. And I think most people do.
Yeah.
I do think we have seen people, like even at our church, who have chosen like to stay in this community and find a job in this community because they were so connected to a church body.
Right.
And I loved my church in college, and I served there as well. And I never thought twice about staying in that community to be a part of that church. And so I think we have seen people who have done it better than we did and who had a different awareness than we did. And so it can be done. And I think that's also why I think there's value in reflecting back on what you wish you would have known, because there are people that were more self-aware or had wisdom that we didn't possess yeah. that, you know, could benefit, hopefully, from our words of wisdom.
Yeah, that's good. What you would tell your 20-year-old self? I think it's a good question. I think it's a valid question, right? Yeah. Anything else that you feel like you want to tell your 20-year-old self?
No, I'm just like that's therapist, JJ. Like, let's do some reflection. How does that make you feel?
Nothing wrong with reflection. Nothing wrong with reflection. Good. All right. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the magic table.
Magic table. It is. I so hope you enjoyed your time at the magic table. Thanks for joining us. It was a ton of fun. I would love for you to be a part of this conversation. Like, what sort of things do you want us to talk about? Let me know. You can do that on Instagram at Theology of Hustle and on Facebook at the same place. You can also find me on Twitter at Curry Blanford. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Shares are always appreciated. I will tell you that. And if you can leave a rating and review on iTunes or whatever app you use, that's super helpful as well. And yeah, let us know what you thought about the magic table. If this is something that you want to see keep going and be done monthly and that sort of thing, I would love your feedback. You're a part of this. So thank you for listening. And we can't wait to hang out next time at the magic table.